String 22. Return of the Didact. The librarian rests with her recovery team for the first moment in 2 months. She has invited Catalog to accompany her, assuming rightly that I am the most secure repository of her activities and the least likely to be corrupted should a political crisis shake up the new council, which is distinctly possible given the scale of Forerunner losses. Most communications within the Ecumene, including the juridical network, have been temporarily blocked pending identification of the extent to which flood-contaminated chips and systems are capable of listening in. The librarian's core team, the same life worker team that accompanied her centuries before to the Path Kithona, gathers after processing their most recent acquisitions. The vessels in her research flotilla are now at full capacity, both for live specimens and genetic samplings. The librarian appears exhausted. She is calm, quiet, listening to the team reports but saying little. She has removed her armor and is surrounded by flowing undergarments, while the armor undergoes self-repair and replenishment. The librarian has worn the same armor for over 1,000 years and exhibits an unusual attachment, for a life worker, to her ancilla. But then everything else familiar to her is either lost or far away. Her children, her husband, and now her husband's duplicate, whom she never refers to as other than my Didact. Even with all of these comings and goings, the reports of her subordinates, briefings from her flotilla commandant, all of her manifold minute-by-minute duties and distractions, the Life Shaper seems terribly alone. It has been 4 years since the Isodidact left the Erda Tyrene system to assume command of Orion Complex Defense Operations, leading forces reconstituted from both former warrior servants and builder security. Eventually, as her ship begins its journey to the Greater Ark, the work passes behind her, her quarters empty. I alone am left to listen. "Do you have any cheerful stories in your inventory?" she asks softly. A great transparent panel spreads wide so that we are able to see the last of the life worker ships gleaming in fading starlight, anticipating the beautiful, awesome show that is portal formation, a few minutes or hours before the Commandant is reassured of transit and we begin our journey away from this system. "There are many cases, long resolved, that are part of public record," I say, "few of which I gathered myself, however. Some are, I suppose, amusing, but what entertains juridicals may not entertain such as you."
"You are young in your calling?"
"I am, Life Shaper. I have not served the requisite centuries."
"Interesting that those not so young should entrust you with my deposition."
"Older juridical units tend to be more cynical, less pleasant to deal with," I explain. "Most remove themselves from gathering evidence and serve in other capacities. Perhaps they have seen too much folly."
"Do you appreciate all the classic forms of folly, Catalog?" she asks.
"Training in law requires an appreciation for all the ways in which we make mistakes, Life Shaper. That, and the constant awareness of one's own transgressions. Nevertheless, to be a juridical gives one the unique opportunity to measure past errors against many far greater."
"You know that the Master Builder has been located," she says. "May I speak of him?"
"You may."
"Ah, that means juridicals have dismissed all proceedings against him."
"Indeed they have, Life Shaper, upon instructions from the new council."
"Astonishing. When you were receiving my deposition, I had a peculiar feeling that you knew something of importance, something you could not tell me."
"Indeed.
The release of the Master Builder seems to have been predicated upon his delivery of a very important individual to the capital system."
"Indeed."
"That can only mean my husband has been returned to us, Catalog. And that means he will replace the Isodidact, as you call him."
"Perhaps, Life Shaper." Her expression is rich and complex. She intuits that the situation may be more complicated than that.
"Let's speak of folly," she says. "Our own folly, the Didact's and mine. Let's speak of how two very different individuals of very different rates, one devoted to defense and destruction, the other to life and preservation, came together. How we fell in love." She tells me of their courtship and the long process of working through rate and family objections, and of the early years of their marriage. I am embarrassed by her description of interludes of physical passion during the creation of their children, which were highly desired and beloved. The life shaper feels no such embarrassment. Life, after all, is the product of an almost infinite number of such encounters. In turn, I spin out the more amusing legal tales of forced partnerships and illegal appropriation of genetic components, with subsequent claims of inheritance, usually but not always denied. Power for builders in particular has much to do with lineage, whether or not legitimately acquired. The life shaper listens closely. She then speaks of the many difficulties she and her husband faced long before the Erddidact was forced into exile. He may have understood the finest details of a grand strategy, but his view of council politics, remarkably direct. I admired that. But had I behaved strictly according to his views? She pauses. I wonder what he'll think when he sees what we've accomplished. He will see that the flood has made huge incursions and that our situation is dire. I immediately regret my words, but she is not offended. Very likely, she says. He has given his own deposition? He has, Life Shaper. No doubt he will soon tell you what he told the juridicals. I cannot. The Commandant finishes preparations to enter slipspace. The external views condense and collapse. A none too subtle misalignment with present reality leaves the air around us vibrating. I'll have two husbands, Catalog, the Life Shaper concludes. Not in itself a problem, but both will be the didact.